I view this presentation I'm about to make sort of as a setup for Dr. Cleveland's market outlook comments, but I gave a presentation like this, I'm going to say in about 2007. I went back to that PowerPoint file to see what I had said then, and it was, I'll make these points as I go, it was striking to me how some aspects of the setup now are similar, but some are very, very different. We're in a similar situation of declining cotton prices or weaker cotton prices relative to grain and soybeans and competing crops. That's the same as it was back in 2007. What's different is the cost outlook that I'm going to be sharing with you is somewhat changed, maybe not as dramatic as it was when I did this the first time. But anyway, here's a roadmap of where I'm headed. The first thing I'll start off with is, since I'm a farm management trained educator, is throw up some info about where you can get things to as a guide, only as a guide for following costs of production for cotton, and these things have been around through a number of different sources, through extension. I note here that Arkansas, I commend Arkansas, they always put their budgets up first for 2013. That's why I use Arkansas examples in all my presentations at Beltwide, because they're the only people I can go to. But other people will have their budgets up as well. Those are guides. What's the best source of cost of production information? Your farm records are the best source of your cost of production information. But you can use these things as a guide. You can also, if your state has a state records organization, analysis organization, that's useful, or kind of a one-on-one consulting type of program like Farm Assistance, like we have here in Texas. The Policy Center has representative farm cost numbers underlying all those analyses that Joe was just presenting to you, and there are online calculators. There's a lot of useful information out there to avail yourself of, and this is the year to do it. If I don't make this point later, I'll make it now. The relevant marketing decision, which I've already been asked several times this week and prior to coming here, what should I do marketing my cotton this year? What's the thought process about marketing my cotton this year? The thought process is deciding which crops to plant, if you catch my meaning. So break evens and budgets and other boring topics like that are no more relevant this year than ever. So follow that. Now, I went and grabbed some USDA data, and I've been presenting budget information in front of farmers for a while, and I know what's going to happen. When you put budget numbers up, people start saying, well, that's not what it costs to grow money. No. Where'd you get that from? Son, have you ever bought diesel fuel in Hereford, Texas? I mean, I've heard all these comments before, and my response is, you don't like these numbers? You use your own numbers. That's what I want you to. I put these numbers up here because they're sort of an amalgam of the entire country, number one. This is U.S. cotton production cost from USDA. They measure things consistently. That's one reason I put it up. I've got 3 years' worth of it, so you can look at some trends. That's why these are here, for us to take a look at some trends. So there's no earth-shattering point here. Most input category costs are rising over this little three-year trend analysis, if you look at them, most, but not all. Seed costs, which are always something that catches a lot of people's attention, seed costs have been rising. Now, they did a meteoric rise. I didn't put the chart in here, but if you go back over 10 years, the trend of planting seed costs looks like that. The last couple years, that's leveled off a bit because the companies have been nice to on some of them have frozen the tech fees associated with certain things when we were in the drought years and whatnot. So it hadn't been quite as dramatic in the last year or two, but seed costs are certainly a notable thing. That's why we had 100 or 200 people in the conventional cotton session yesterday, because that's driving, it's not resistance in Texas, it's seed costs that are driving a lot of people to think about conventional cotton. So seed is a big, big deal, and the other ones are fertilizers and chemicals, and I have more stuff to present to you there. Fertilizer and chemical prices tend to bounce around from year to year. They tend to be true variable costs. Chemicals are actually flat, which I could explain that in a number of different ways. And I grabbed a few headlines. I stuck this headline in because the headline I had in my presentation 5 years ago was, costs are surging. Costs are up. It's incredible. That's what was making the headlines. Fertilizer costs were higher. Fuel costs were higher. And that's frankly not the story. That's not the headlines this year. This is actually an analysis that's available. There's not that many people doing research on cost of production for cotton, you know, real research. There's some researchers and extension. I commend Arkansas again because Archie Flanders, who I've seen at this meeting, has been doing some work recently. So there's a little bit, but you know, basically, this is a resource that's available from ERS that I just found online that I posted here for you. And the one reason I stuck this in here was it in the very opening paragraph up there, it quoted, and this is a snapshot from years ago, a few years ago. But it shows the range. There's a wide, wide range of production costs, per unit production costs. Depends a lot on what region of the country you're in. Depends a lot on what year you're talking about, what yields you were talking about. This particular analysis highlights, I think, down there at the bottom that, boy, those southwestern production producers did really, really well. Well, they were talking about 2007 when we had tremendous, tremendous yields, so our production per unit production costs were actually pretty low. But you got to pay attention to all that kind of stuff, and you got to worry about the variability. That's another reason why you can't depend on A&M's numbers or USDA's numbers. You got to get your own data. This is the article I really wanted to zip to. A couple of friends of mine have put this out, and I think it's going to appear in the one of the Farm Press articles here in the next month or so. But the general outlook for a lot of the major input cost categories this year, in contrast with the past, is that there's not an expectation that fertilizer or fuel prices are really going to surge. You know, fuel, you know, unless we start bombing Iran or something, there's really not that big of an expectation. Futures for oil and diesel have certainly been surging. It's not in the news. There's not been a big commodity surge in commodity markets that's encompassed the fuel markets. They've been caught up in a lot of this financial malaise stuff. So anyway. There's not the expectation that fuel prices certainly are taking off like a rocket. And fertilizer prices, you know, fertilizer is kind of an odd thing. Some of it, certain categories of fertilizers like potash or whatever are going to respond to their own fundamentals. Nitrogen, my mental model of nitrogen prices is that the price of nitrogen is a function of last year's corn price, basically. Last year's corn price is a pretty good predictor of nitrogen prices. But when you consider it now, you know, we've got abundant natural gas, and there's been new sources of nitrogen coming into the market. The expectation certainly is that maybe we won't see the surging nitrogen fertilizer costs that we've seen in the past. So this is basically the outlook. It's like, well, nobody's really that worried, at least it's not making headlines. Nobody's really that worried about surging input costs so much, to the point that people aren't really booking them in advance. There's a lot less of that, those kinds of questions anyway. If you don't believe that kind of short-run ad hoc type of outlook for inputs, I've got some nice long-term black box projections, kind of like this one, which I stole from FAPRI. The first half of this chart and the succeeding charts are going to be the actual shifting around in prices as reflected by an index. And from 2013 on, it's a black box projection. The value of that is simply you get to see the, kind of the consistent ways that these economic models project things off into the future. Of course, that's driven by the jumping off point, and it's driven by whatever assumptions they have about the macroeconomy, but that's all kind of built into these things. So let's all take a look. This going forward, this looks a bit flat for seed. I hope that's true. I really do hope that's true. Fertilizer, again, also no real dramatic spikes, no big upward trends. They're kind of projecting a flat and tapering off as we go off into the future there. Wages seems to be, I don't know what that formula is driven by, but it's obviously a function of just general inflation and probably population and something like that. I guess that means we're not going to have deflation anyway going into the future. Fuel, they're actually projecting to again, have a flattish looking, kind of a dip and a recovery. in fuel projections going out 5 years. Repairs looks like that looks like an ag engineering formula right there. It's just ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. It just, you can tell it's a fixed deal. And machinery costs never go down, so there's machinery. Chemicals, I don't know, I wouldn't see that being as a function of the base petroleum input into producing chemicals, so maybe it's reflecting new technology patents and things of that nature, but we've got an upward thing there. Summarize just a little bit of that again. For the big picture view of some of our key input categories is not as dramatic. Not as dramatic. There's no expectation of strong surges in our input costs. That could obviously change if something unforeseen happens, particularly on the energy side, particularly if there's disruption because of military conflict or what have you. I don't really see anything changing this natural gas supply kind of situation that we've built up. So what do we do with that? Well, it's not in the headlines, but you know, you take current cost projections and you put them back into those boring enterprise budgets and draw some implications for break-evens prices and planted acreage considerations. So that's what I've done with them. A little exercise that I do every winter. Again, I used Arkansas's budgets. I plugged in. The danger of putting out your budgets early is that prices can change. They had $7 corn and $14.50 soybeans. I had to bring that down to current levels. So as of just January 7th, the oilseed and corn futures adjusted for the Arkansas basis and using their budget numbers, I plugged all those numbers into this little break-even formula, which would give you, that on the top there, it gives you the cash price of cotton that you need to break even with the soybeans reflected in the Arkansas budgets and the corn reflected in the Arkansas budgets. You need to have 86 cent cash price cotton or 80 or 90 cent cash price cotton, to match up with either soybeans or corn. 86 to break even with corn, 90 to break even with soybeans if you accept the Arkansas budget numbers. Now, should you accept the Arkansas budget numbers? No, you should use your numbers. But just for an example, this is why we're expecting a decline in acres in the Delta, in the Delta region, and in other regions that have similar cost and yield structures. There's going to be a lot of competition for acreage with these competing crops. And I had this analysis set up, so I went ahead and updated it. What this is showing you is the historical plantings of cotton in the Delta region. That's the blue line that goes horizontal and then shifts in the next year, and it shifts in the next year. So you've got plantings of 4 million in that region starting off and 4.25 million and then dropping in 2007 to under 3 million. That's planted acreage in response to relative prices. The green line is the price of soybeans divided by the price of cotton. The red line is the price of corn divided by the price of cotton. These are cash prices, Memphis prices, of soybeans and corn divided by the cotton price. So, for example, a 10 on the red line would be $7 corn divided by 70 cent cotton. That's what would give you a 10 in that ratio over there on the right. But basically, as the green line and the red line get higher, the price of corn and soybeans is higher relative to cotton. It's what it's telling you. This isn't rocket science. When those relative prices get high, as they did in about 2008 and 2009, we saw our lowest levels of cotton plantings in the Mid-South. And then relative prices dropped in 2011. You saw a rebound in planted acreage in the Delta. And now relative prices have shot way up. And so based on this little snapshot of history, I would expect planted acreage in the Delta to be at least as low as it was in 2008 and 2009. We'll see how it shakes out. I was going to do this same analysis for wheat and grain sorghum prices in Texas because 6 weeks ago, we had very, very competitive wheat, grain, sorghum prices in West Texas relative to cotton. And we also at least had the hope that we'd have enough moisture in the ground that people could actually grow a grain sorghum crop or keep their wheat crop and might even tempt a few people to forward contract grain sorghum on the hopes that they could actually produce it. But with this current snapshot, I didn't bother doing that analysis. And I'm going to just leave this up here as a backdrop to a presentation of Cotton Market Outlook by O.A. Cleveland. Thank you for your attention.